And God bless you, everyone that's joining us on our YouTube channel. God bless you. Those that are on the conference line, amen. We already greeted them, but greetings again to you as well. As far as our page on Facebook, I don't know if that's, I'm going to be able to get that back up. I may have to redo it. I think it's been taken over there. So I might have to delete it and create a new page or a new page or just a Facebook, a regular Facebook page rather than the business one, and see how that works for us. So I'll let you know and keep you informed about it. But as far as right now, I don't think we're going to be able to get back on there. It's been hijacked. Amen. So anyway, we're not going to let that stop us. Amen. We're not going to let it stop us. So we're going to just do a few reminders for those that are joining us. We have a workshop on March the 17th. That workshop, it deals with preparing and making sure we have adequate amount of life insurance. Something that we don't like to talk about, but it's something that is necessary. And so this young man is coming in, and I've just suggested to those at Hope International Ministries and those that will be coming that you share the information with, those that are from the church, bring questions. This is the time to ask questions. If you're not sure of the different plans, the different terminology, you know what? You have a professional there, and ask questions. Write the questions out before you come, whatever you need to do, but get what you need. Amen. And do feel free. Mm-hmm. If the offer is good, he may give the church a special offer. And if you feel like you want to go with that, once you've thought about it, please feel free to afterwards to contact him if you're interested in purchasing life insurance if you don't have it. We got to be ready. Amen. We got to be ready. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Like I said, we don't want to think about it. But if you've ever been in that place when you lose a loved one and there's no insurance policy, amen, and then you're trying to give them the best send off as you can, it can become complicated. So it's not very expensive, but come out, tell everyone about it. Amen. It's at noon on March the 17th. It's at the community center where we have our services, 117 3rd Avenue. Spread the word. Glory to God, and come out and hear. Amen. And so with that being said, let's just begin with prayer. Father, we thank you on tonight. We bless your name. We give you glory. We give you honor, and we give you praise, Lord. We thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to come together to study your word, Lord. Father, we just thank you for a mind to want to come and study, mm-hmm. Lord God. And so, Father, on tonight, we invoke your presence, Lord God, that you would manifest yourself amongst us on tonight, and everything that is said, everything that is done, may you be glorified and may you be lifted up. Father, we pray that those mm-hmm. that will hear, those that will come on at a later time or date, Lord, that your anointing, Lord, that is upon this lesson, amen, will minister to the hearts of the people. We pray, oh God, that those that are unsaved will desire to know you. We pray that those that need deliverance will be deliverance. We pray, oh God, that those of us that have misinformation, that Lord, it'll be corrected. Father, have your way, Lord God. Let this teaching just go all over, Lord God, the universe, amen, and let people be blessed, and may you be lifted up, and may you be glorified. We thank you for every home that's represented here on tonight, Lord. We pray blessings, Lord God, and favor upon them, Lord. We pray prosperity upon them, Lord God. We pray that every spiritual blessing, Lord God, be manifest in their lives. We ask, oh God, that the eyes of understanding be enlightened, Lord God, that we may know know, Lord God, our calling. We will know those things that belong to us as children of God, as citizens of your kingdom. Sure. We thank you, O God, that we are kingdom-minded people and we walk in authority and power, Lord God. We bless your name on tonight. Now, Father, we believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. We believe that those can that there are those that can hear the word on tonight. And as you sent your word and people were healed, God, it's still prevalent today that your word can go forth on this line. This prayer can go forth on this line. And there are those that will be healed, healed of every infirmity, Lord God, whether it be physical or mental, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God. We thank you, Father, that you are God and you do not change, Lord God. You're the same yesterday, today, and the Bible says forevermore. We bind up any heaviness. We bind up depression. We bind up hopelessness. We bind up sickness and disease, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We bind up oppression, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that those things that we realize, Lord, they are not of you and they are not, God, a part of the kingdom of God. We thank you that we walk in joy. We walk in peace. We walk in hope and we walk in faith. Yes. Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Fill us up, oh God, with Holy Spirit. Let us be refilled and let those that have never been filled, let them be filled. Let them get the initial filling, oh God, that they may walk in power, Lord, in the name of Jesus and implement everything that you said that we can do, that that we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Lord God, we thank you right now and we bless you, Lord God, for using us and allowing us to be a light, Lord God, in dark places, in this sin-tossed place we call earth. Now, God, have your way, have your way. We ask it now in the name of Jesus and the saints of God. Say amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, Al Mountain. God bless you, Brother Charles Mills. God bless you, Minister Mott. I see that you have come on the line as well. And so if you're on the line again, you will see the title of tonight's teaching, which is actually part two of last week's, which was titled Staying Full of God. Glory to God, staying full of God. And we talked about last week how some of us in our Christian walk, you know, we're up and down and up and down. One day we're victorious. The next day we're walking in defeat. One day we're walking in healing. The next day the healing is, you know, that's not of God. God calls us to be consistent in our walk. Amen. We are to be consistent and we are to stay full of him. Amen. And we know that we can, you know, we can be that way because the word of God tells us so. Amen. And so on tonight, I just want to recap. I told Prophet, I don't know if I told Prophetess Flo, but I'm saying we're not going to be long tonight. Amen. Because I just wanted to finish up what we started on last week. And so I don't plan on being very long, but we don't know what the Holy Ghost might do. So let's just do a quick, real quick review. The lesson is called Intuitive Revelation. Amen. And so on last week, just to recap, we discovered that the gospel is more than just good news. Amen. But it's actually nearly too good to be true news. Amen. It is nearly too good to be true. And so we came out of Romans 1. We started with Romans 1, 16 through 17. Glory to God. The scripture that says if we're not afraid or ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith. As it is written, the just will live by faith. Amen. And so we also talked about on last week, coming from John 4, 10, 8, 10, and 11, and Luke 9, 54, and 56, Christ's message. And the way he loved people unconditionally. Amen. So when Jesus walked the earth, he loved people unconditionally. And we talked about some of the individuals that he encountered. Amen. That he didn't really invoke wrath and he didn't condemn. We know that he had mercy and showed mercy to the adulterous woman, also the woman at the well, how he ministered to her. We also know that there was a time when the disciples were desiring him to call down fire on an unwelcoming village. And Jesus said no. Amen. So he came showing forth unconditional love. Amen. And so revealed was that the message that Christ brought to the people, that it was just too good to be true. Remember that prior to that, their righteousness was predicated on works. Amen. So we're talking about the religious. We talked about the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and it was more about works and traditions. Amen. And so here's God, Jesus coming on the scene, and Jesus is saying, no, all you have to do is that we believe later on as Jesus dies for the sins of the world. Amen. So we find out that it's not about works, but it's about our faith and what Jesus Christ has done for us by way of the cross. And so God's goodness is what Jesus is what he brought and what he taught, rather than the fear of hell. Right? So we talked about that. So God's goodness, not the fear of hell, is what leads people to repentance. And we came out of Romans 2 and 4. And we know that there we have sat under ministry, some of us, where it was hell. You know, they taught about hell, heaven or hell. And it was more hell than heaven because it brought people, it made people fearful. And so they weren't experiencing the love and the unconditional love of Christ. They weren't really sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, but what they were doing was sharing fear. And so we know that hell is real. Amen. But Jesus wants, but the good news is about, Jesus and his unconditional love. Amen. The good news is about the kingdom of God. The good news is that you can come out of darkness into the marvelous light. You know, the good news is that you can be healed. You can be whole rather than in the love of Jesus Christ. The good news is that Jesus loves you. Amen. Unconditionally. And despite what we do, amen. When we fall short, it's not that, he does not love us any less. He doesn't love the sin that we do. He's not, Jesus is in God the Father. They're not about our sin, but they love us unconditionally. And so that's what Jesus taught. Amen. And then that's why it was viewed as good news. Like it was just too good to be true because that's all they've known. Amen. They've known the harshness of it, the following and the law, every dot and crossing every T when it pertained to the law. Amen. So through Christ's atonement, we found out that everything we need for abundant life, both in heaven to come and on earth here and now, has already been provided. Everything we need that pertains to life and godliness, it has already been provided through the atonement of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I think we came at 2 Peter, I believe it was 2 Peter 1 and 3, I think is where we came out of that. Amen. Just going back on my notes. Glory to God. And so all you must do is believe and receive. So let me say that again, that everything you need for abundant life, both in heaven to come and right now here on earth, it's already provided to the believer. All we have to do is believe it, despite, you know, I'm saying it like it's easy, but it really is easy. Amen. But we get caught up in logic and reasoning and fear and doubt. But all we have to do is believe and receive what he's done. Glory to God. Everything you need. Okay. And then we talked about wrath. Amen. If Jesus came and he's talking about unconditional love. Amen. Well, what about the wrath of God? And we've seen that in the Old Testament. You know, what about the wrath? So in Romans 1 and 18 and 19, We came from there. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God have, past tense, showed it to them. Have, past tense, showed it to them. So the reason why we really shouldn't harp so much, too much, let me put it this way, it was overbearing at one time on the wrath of God. Amen. Is because people already know in their hearts that they're not right, or they're not in right standing with him. And how do you know that? Because we talked about this intuitive revelation, this homing device, as I called it, an intuitive revelation of the existence of God. That is on every believer. Everybody is born with this intuitive revelation that there's someone greater. There's something greater. Amen. They may not know what it is, but they know it's bigger than them. It's that intuitive that God has placed in every individual, that humming device. Amen. So it's on the inside of every human being who has ever walked the earth. And so no one will ever stand before God and say, but I never heard, I never knew, or I never knew you existed. Amen. Because of that intuitive revelation, that humming device, as I say, that is in every human being, according to Romans 1:18-19. And even in Romans 1:20. It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. So even if it's the rainbow in the sky, some people don't even, I hate to even say it, but they don't even notice the rainbow in the sky. Everybody is so, you know, just the beauty sometimes coming to work in the morning, because earlier in the fall, the later fall, November, December, I would go to work and it would be just sunrise. The sun would just be coming up, and we live on the East Coast. Amen. So we're close to the ocean. And so we get a beautiful view of that sunrise coming up over the horizon. And I would love to take those that are familiar with Neptune, you know, we live up the hill. So it's higher than the rest of the city. So when you're up on the hill and you could just get that look of the sky and the hue, oh, it's just so amazing. Things like that. We'd be like, my goodness, like, there has to be a God. There must be someone, something bigger that he can create something so spectacular. You know, I went to Alaska, got a chance to go to Alaska, and just looking at the glaciers, it's just amazing. The mountains, as I was flying in to San Francisco last summer, and we were able to fly over, I believe might have been part of the Rocky Mountains, and just to look down and see the snow-capped mountains, but here it is like August. It was just, these things make you just wonder, right? There's got to be someone, something bigger. And so that's what Romans, and we'll get into it a little more, and I'm going to go to the Amplified. And he's saying, you know, that these things makes us ponder. It ignites that intuitive revelation, that homing device, that there is someone greater. Amen. All right. Y'all with me now? Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so even if they haven't heard a preacher preach to them, they've had this inner witness on the inside, and they'll be accountable according to the revelation they have. And this is true for every individual. Amen. So that's just recapping what we went over on last week. So I want to start with Psalms 46:10. So you need to have your Bibles with you. Glory to God. Go with me to Psalms 46 and 10. And I'm going to put it up on the screen too, prayfully. Psalms 46 and 10. And I'm in the Amplified Bible again. So I'm using the Amplified once again. And let me see if I can split the screen up. Let's see if we can do it here. All right. So this would be A. All right, here we go. So let's look at 46 and 10. I'm scrolling down here. All right, Psalms 46 and 10. And it says, be still and know, recognize, understand that I am God. Amen. That's the part I really want to focus on. The B part, the C part say, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. But the A part, be still and know, recognize, understand that I am God. So here it is. When you get still, when you get quiet, or you quiet your spirit, quiet your mind. Amen. When you just quiet yourself, you can hear, or you can experience this intuitive revelation or that humming device. When we aren't occupied, say with a lot of stuff going on, when we aren't occupied with anything, it'll start drawing us to God. But as long as we have all of this going on, remember, God comes in that still, quiet voice. It's not always in a lot of noise. And matter of fact, I think it's really not in a lot of noise. Amen. But when we're able to quiet ourselves, when we aren't occupied with a lot of stuff, it'll start drawing us to God. And that's the reason why, when you think about it, prior to salvation, before you were saved or before people were saved, people don't like to be still. Like it's like they're always looking for something, searching for something. Going here, you know what I mean? Looking to fulfill that intuitive revelation, that humming, they're looking to fulfill it. So they're all over the place. They call it sometimes that they're bored or they're lonely. And although they use many different terms, right, to describe it, the humming device, that intuitive revelation, that thing that God has placed in us, in our hearts, that humming device in our hearts is what is speaking to them. But they're overriding it. I'm talking about the unsaved, because they're busy doing all kinds of things. They're busy looking and searching. Y'all met people like that. They never still. They're always searching. Always. They're going to this religion. They go from to that religion. And they, you know, they're all over the place. They're spiritualists. That's really God. That's that humming device in God that's drawing them. Amen. But they're all over the place. They're busy. Mm-hmm. They're searching, right? So what does that say? What does it say? That humming device, what does it say? It says, you know, this isn't right. People who aren't saved know when they're not living right. And you know how I know that? You ever witness to someone, and one of the things they would say, when I get right, I'm gonna come to church. You see what I'm saying? Have you ever had that experience? Mm-hmm. You're invited. Come on, you know, I'm not even inviting you to church. I'm inviting you to Jesus, right? But they're more minded. They're more thinking in terms of going to church. And they'll tell you, well, you know, when I get right, I'll go. So they already know that they're not right. But they're not ready to give in to that draw of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. right? The other thing it tells you, shouldn't be living this way. You know, people that I remember now, I'm going to tell on myself. I'm going to tell on myself. And my ex-husband's on this line. Amen. But I'll tell it. Because before we got married, I had this bright, probably my idea. I don't even think it was his. It was my bright idea that we're going to save this money. Now, mind you, I was in the church, and I was singing in the choir, you know, hey, I was active, but I'm like, we're going to save some money. Let me put my face up here so he can see me. He know I'm telling the truth. I said, so he had an apartment and I had an apartment. So, you know, we were like, well, why have separate apartments? This is where my mind was back then, y'all. I'm telling on myself, and some of y'all the same way. This ain't saying nothing. I said, why have two different apartments, right? And we're getting ready to get married. Why don't we just, you know, shack up and get rid of the one apartment and we can save money, right? Come on now. Come on. Florence, I know you ain't going to leave me out here. So, who's that? Somebody saying something in the back. I don't know, my sister Sharon. She ain't leaving me hanging either. So I, my bright idea, I'm sure it was me. I was like, so which apartment we want to get rid of and we'll move in together, right? So he wound up getting rid of his place and moved in with me before we got married. Now, here's the thing. Now, I can't say I was saved. Can I just be honest? I don't believe at that point in my life that I really was saved. Now, I was in church. Come on, y'all. Don't leave me hanging out here. I was in church. I was active in church. I told you I was on the choir and I was leading songs in the choir. Amen. And I was at church every Sunday, but I wasn't saved. I wasn't saved. I was just doing things. You know what I mean? It felt good to go to church. It felt good to be encouraged in the word, but I wasn't surrendered. I had not surrendered my heart. I had not surrendered my life. But I enjoyed being in the choir. I enjoyed coming to church. I enjoyed hearing the word, but that's all I was doing. I was hearing it with my physical ears, but it wasn't getting down in my heart. Amen. So I was in church and, you know, he was in church. I ain't telling his testimony. I'm just going to talk about mine. And so I was like, okay, so let's move in together. Well, let me just tell you this. I think it may have took maybe two Sundays. I felt so condemned. I'm sitting up in the choir. You know, that's that humming device, that, you know, that Holy Ghost, because I wasn't saved. I wasn't filled. Like I said, I was just going to church. But I had this, you know, that I knew, even if the preacher did not preach to me, I had enough in me that I felt horrible. I felt horrible to the point I was like, you know what? I have to either we're going to get married right now, you know, to forget this waiting a year and all this crazy mess, or I'm getting out of this choir. Because that's how I felt like I was a hypocrite, you know. And so to make a long story short, he ain't even saying amen on here, but I know he's listening. To make a long story short, we pushed that wedding all the way up. I didn't even have bridesmaids or nothing. I think I had one bridesmaid. I had a plan for a big wedding. But by the time I had pushed it up, because I knew it wasn't right, you know, I just said, okay, I'm just going to have a maid of honor and a best man, and that's going to be it. And we're going to push it all the way up, because I didn't think it was fair, Prophetess Flo, to make them pay, you know, for the stuff in such a short notice, because I didn't got beat up and felt so bad. So I'm saying that because people know right from wrong. Kids know right from wrong. Amen. They know, and they know if you walk in on them and they doing something they're not supposed to be doing, you know. Amen. They got that look about them. And so that intuitive humming device that I'm saying, it says that, you know, this isn't right. You shouldn't be living this way. Glory to God. I was there. There has to be more to life than this. You know, people are like, well, got to be more to life than this. It's more than just going to work and coming home. You know what I mean? Where did I come from? People, where did I come from? What is my purpose in life? Why? All of that. That's that intuitive in the unsaved. Where am I going? Who created me? Right? And so either they'll hear the good news. The people will plant seeds along the way, or they'll look to other things to fulfill it. They'll look to other things. And so in order to sometimes drown this out and ignore it, what they do, they have to saturate sometimes their eyes and ears with radio till they're trying to avoid it. They, you know, they do different things. So either they'll be attractive to something that's not Christ, or they'll try to avoid it by staying busy, by watching TV, by, you know, traveling here and there, never settle. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I said, we already have this revelation of God, right? Because we're born with it. And that intuitive revelation stays with us throughout our entire life. But let's look at the rest. I want to go back to Romans 1. Let's go back to Romans 1 and let's look at 21. We talked about it. I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to go back. So I'm going to pull you all off for a minute. You're going to see Romans. Let's go to Romans 1. Hallelujah. Y'all with me out there? Say something.
Amen.
Come on. I see y'all. Amen. I was saying amen, amen, because he know I was telling the truth. Glory to God. He knows the truth. It's like, oh, we get married. I was getting married. And I'm not coming up here. I'm not going to be beat up here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's see what the next one. Here it is. We just said we were without excuse. Amen. I don't know if they can see the scriptures that good. Let me just pull it. I'm going to pull it all the way up. Let's see. Let's see so that they can see it. So I want to go to Romans 1, starting with verse 21. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I think I said I started with verse 21.
20.
But let me start with 19 and we'll go all the way down to 21. All right. So it says here, because that which is known. Let me go back. I'm flipping now. See, trying to be all fancy. Here we go. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. And I kind of read it, but I read it in the New King James, but the King James Version. But now I want to read it in the Amplified, Romans 1:19. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. Remember, I was telling you that we're all born with that intuitive revelation, that homing device. It says here in the AMP, in their inner consciousness, for God made it evident to them, verse 20, forever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through his workmanship, all his creation, the wonderful things that he has made, so that they, we're talking about the unsaved, who fail to believe and trust in him, here it is, are without excuse and without defense. So it's no excuse for anybody. Even if you didn't get to preach word, well, I put that little intuitive thing in there, and I've exposed myself through nature, through animals, through your life. He's God. Listen, the scripture says he's everywhere present. He's everywhere present. You can walk down the beach and you can experience God. Amen. You can roll over out of your sleep in the middle of the night and experience God. Amen. Just being thankful for just being alive. We all he's everywhere. So we're without excuse. And so let's look at verse 21. It says, for even though they knew God. Now, this is unsaved, talking about that humming device, that intuitive revelation. It says, for even though they knew God as the creator, somebody's bigger than me. There's someone who has created this wonderful earth and everything is so fine-tuned, right? It says they did not honor him as God or give thanks for his wondrous creation. And maybe that's why people can see that beautiful rainbow and they don't even see it. You know, they're just oblivious to it. Amen. And so it goes on to say, on the contrary, they became worthless in their thinking. I just said that. Godless, with pointless reasonings and silly speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Woo. All right. So we were born with this intuitive revelation, this homing device. You were born with it and it stays with you throughout your entire life. And so the rest of Romans 1, beginning with verse 21, now reveals progressive steps you can take that will diminish or stop that intuitive knowledge or that homing device from drawing you to him. So let's look at those things. All right, y'all ready? Let's start with verse 22. It says claiming to be wise. Now, these are the people that neglected that humming device, neglected that intuitive revelation that there's God. There's a God. There must be a God. There's someone greater. There's someone, you know, omnipotent. They've rejected that. It says this is what happens. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. 23, and exchanged the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God for an image. Worthless idols. They worship their houses, their cars, their jobs. You hear what I'm saying? In the shape of the mortal man and birds and four-footed animals and reptiles. They build all kinds of crazy idols. They worship the turtle. They worship the mermaids. You know, just stuff that really the glory belongs to God. Verse 24. Am I going too fast, Florence? Am I going too fast? Tell me.
No.
All right. 24. No. Therefore, God gave. Listen, what happened now? These are the unsaved that did not hearken to that humming device. 24 says, therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their own hearts to sexual impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin. Verse 25, because by choice they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. 26, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading and vile passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, a function contrary to nature. And in the same way, also the men turned away from the natural function of the woman and were consumed with their desire toward one another, men with men, committing shameful acts, and in return receiving in their own bodies the inevitable and appropriate penalty for their wrongdoing. Verse 28, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or consider him worth knowing as their creator, because they're looking all over and all idols and all other things, right? God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are improper and repulsive. Verse 29, until they were filled, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and mean spitefulness. And you wonder what's wrong with some of the people you're working with on your job. Well, you're seeing it right here. They are gossips, spreading rumors, 30, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of new forms of evil. Now that's deep. Inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient and disrespectful to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, without pity. Although, here's verse 32, although they know God's righteousness, remember, because you got that homing thing, right? Although they know God's righteous decree and his judgments, that those who do such things deserve death. Yet, they not only do them, but they even enthusiastically approve and tolerate others who practice them. Now, that was a lot, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay. Let me go on that. That's a lot. And so going back, beginning with verse 21, it reveals the progressive steps that those who don't know God, have not accepted God, can take that will diminish or stop this intuitive knowledge of God from drawing them to him. It almost sounds like that reprobated mind. After a while, it just... because the more you get into these things, the more, you know, the more that you gravitate to this, the more you just, you know, it's like I could just see someone out in the ocean. They just drifting further and further till after a while you can't even get back to shore. Amen. But these are those who are not, remember, they're not saved. Right. But God's placed that in them that they have the ability to know God. Now, you can actually reach a place where your heart becomes hardened so much over a period of time that you can't hear this homing device, unsaved, this revelation of God anymore. And so Romans 1 and 21 and the following verses, which we read, they talk about those progressive steps that you must take in order to walk away from his revelation. These are the progressive steps. And again, those are people who are not saved, but yet they know that there's someone bigger than we know that there's got to be a creator. It wasn't a big boom. There wasn't a big boom. And if it was a big boom, like we said, who made the big boom? Somebody did the big. There is a God. Amen. And so for those of us who were saved, for those of us who are saved, glory to God. I ain't getting nobody over here. Y'all out there on that YouTube? I ain't got nothing but Albert saying amen, amen from way back. All right, so for those of us that are saved, right? Mm-hmm. You have already received the Lord. So therefore, you're not walking away from the intuitive knowledge or that humming device, as I've been calling it, of God in your heart. You're not walking away from it because you've received the Lord and Savior. However, this is why I want to slow it down. These principles that we just talked about apply to everything God does in your life. Right? They don't just work before you were saved concerning God's existence. Before you lose the benefit of anything the Lord has done in your life, you must pass through four steps. All right? So before you start faltering and you find yourself, you know what? There was a time I just loved just being in the presence of God and reading his word. Now I don't even want to do that. You know what I'm saying? There was a time, you know, you start feeling stale. You start feeling like you're drifting. You feel like, you know, something's missing in your relationship. That's where I'm at. Okay. So before you lose the benefit of anything the Lord has done in your life, you pass through these four steps that we're going to talk about. And the four steps are in Romans 1:21. So I'm going to go back to Romans 1:21. Y'all with me? Glory to God. Yes, glory to God. All right. So in 1:21, I'm going to see if y'all can pick out the four steps. It says, for even though they knew God as the creator, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, amen, for his wondrous creation. Mm-hmm. On the contrary, they became worthless in their what? In their thinking, godless with pointless reasoning and silly speculations. And lastly, their foolish heart was darkened. Now I'm coming from the Amplified. There are four steps in there. That the believer would have to embrace before you feel yourself kind of drifting and you're like, man, I just feel dry and, you know, I don't feel that joy like I had in it, blah, blah, blah. You know what, y'all know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. All right. So can somebody look in your Bible? There are four. Can you pick out the four?
Well, they did not glorify him.
Okay, they did not glorify him. That's one.
They were not thankful.
Neither were they thankful. That's two.
They became brutal in their thought life.
They became vain in their imagination. That's the third
one. Their hearts were darkened.
And that's the fourth one. Their foolish hearts were darkened. So these four keys we just gave you, the four keys in Romans 1:21 describes the steps. It's the same steps that happens to the unbeliever, but the more they neglect and reject that humming device, that homing device, amen, that intuitive revelation, they drift further and further. And it's the same with us. Amen. The same. Amen. We just start to get, you know, would start to get distance. Let me give you an example. Okay. Mm-hmm. So take, for instance, the joy of the Lord, right? Perhaps mm-hmm. that joy is not as strong today as it used to be, mm-hmm. as it once was in your life. Am I talking to anybody? Amen. Mm-hmm. I hear you. All right. Cassandra says thinking. All right. Okay. If you ever known God's love, right? But you mm-hmm. you feel like you're not experiencing it today as you did once before. Okay. There's another. See how we kind of drift, getting stale, kind of drifting. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Remember when we talked about the transmitter, right? When you turn on the TV, that program has been going on way before you turned the TV on, right? You just tuned in. You just turned on the transmitter. If you don't turn on the transmitter, then you're not going to be able to see that program. But it doesn't mean that it's still not being released over the airwaves. So mm-hmm. it's never God's fault. Because he's always blessing. He's always there. He never leaves us forsake us. He's given us joy. He's given us peace. He's given us healing. He's given us everything we need. We said that pertains to life and godliness, right? In 1 Peter, I think 1 and 3, he's given us everything through the atonement of Jesus Christ. So if we start feeling these things in our lives, right? We start feeling we're in this dry place or this desert place, right? With our relationship with God. It's not that he's walked away. We said he never walks away. Didn't we say that last week? He will never walk away. Mm-hmm. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's always blessing. Mm-hmm. He's always present. He's always near. He's near right now. He's present right now in us and mm-hmm. around us. He never stops being. Glory to God. He never stops being who he is. And his word is the same yesterday and forevermore. He never says something and does not completed. He is not a liar. Glory to God. He is truth. Yes. He is personified truth. Everything that he has said in his word, it will come to pass. It shall come to pass. Glory to God. So if you're not walking in joy, if you're not receiving the healing, if you're not walking in peace, glory to God, if you're not feeling prosperity, whatever it is that there has been a loss and transmitting it to you, it's you. It's not him. It's like the TV is always going. Right now, there are people all over the world that are podcasting, right? It's all over air, all in the airwaves. Even though we don't perceive it, it's there. That's how, that's how God is. He's there. Even in your situation, you're sitting there like, God, where are you? Come on. Where's the real church? Come on. God, where are you? I've been looking. I've been asking. Have you been there? I've been there. Amen. Yeah. Where are you, Lord God? God, I've been called. He's there. But what you have to check out, are you receiving the transmittal, right? Are you receiving what he's doing? Because somewhere in those four places there, you kind of disconnected the transmittal. Amen. Mm-hmm. Prophetess Flo gave us in Romans 1:21. They glorified him not, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Glory to God. They were foolish. Their foolish hearts were darkened. I'm going to put it up. Let me see if I can put that up. Glory to God. Y'all with me here? Let me see. There we go. Hallelujah. So if you're once experienced those things that we talked about, there were steps that you took away from him. Amen. And these are the same steps you use to come back to him. Amen. So those four steps, maybe somewhere in there, you know, after a while you start grumbling and complaining instead of glorifying him, even in the midst of whatever you're going through, he's still God and he still deserves the glory. Amen. So are you glorifying him while you're waiting, even in the midst of the attacks? Yeah, the enemy's going to attack and all of that. But you, but listen, you have the victory. You have God on your side. God says that, you know, that I'll fight your battles. Stand still. Amen. He said, I'll fight your battles. Amen. Glory to God. So are you glorifying him in the midst? Are you still thankful? Even when it's not going the right, God, I still thank you. I don't understand it. Glory to God. My heart is hurting right now. I'm going through, but God, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. I am going to lift you up. I'm going to magnify you. I'm still going to teach and preach and tell of the goodness of God, because I'm going to give you glory. Whatever state I find myself therein, God, I find myself content. And you know why I'm content? Because God's in it with me. And he's made some promises. Glory to God. And that's why we can say we're going through. We're not staying. We're not stagnant. But we're passing through. But while I'm passing through, I'm giving him glory. And I'm thanking him for his goodness. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Oh, we got vain imagination. What are you thinking about? What is your mind on? Are you meditating on why God is not moved? Why God is not doing this? Is that what you're keeping your mind on? Or is your mind seeing yourself out of that thing? Seeing yourself victorious in that thing? Seeing God showing up? Seeing God giving me strength to walk through it? Hallelujah. We got to change the way we see things and experience things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then their foolish hearts was darkened. Don't let your heart get darkened. Don't let that stuff in. You got to guard your heart diligently.
Yes.
Guard your heart. Hallelujah. Because those are the things that do what? That push us back. And it's not that God's not there, but we just stepped away because we've allowed one of these four keys to enter in. But the same thing that brings us what? Further is the same thing that's going to bring us to him. Look at here. The same four keys expressed positively are what? That's going to bring us back. Going to bring the joy back. It's going to bring the peace back. Amen. It's going to bring the hope back. One, instead of not glorifying him, we, like we said, we're going what? We're going to glorify him. Hallelujah. Two, instead of what? Not being thankful, right? Neither were they thankful. What are we going to be? We're going to be thankful. Whatever we going through. Come on. Y'all need to just say thank you. Wait a minute. Wait. I'm almost done. Y'all just need to take a praise break right here, right now, wherever you are. Come on this YouTube. Just type hallelujah. I think they've already started over there. Hallelujah. Just open up your mouth and give them some praise. I don't care where you at, what's going on in your life. God is still good and God still deserves the glory and he still deserves the honor. And if we can stay in that place of glory, glorifying him, being thankful, keeping our minds on his word, meditating on his word, seeing ourselves victorious, glory to God, it'll keep us connected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Glory to God. And then that fourth one, have a good heart. Now you can't have no evil heart now. Keep your heart pure. I just said all of that. Keep your heart pure. What does that mean to keep your heart pure? I'm done. What does it mean to keep your heart pure? What does that mean? Come on, y'all. What does it mean?
Stay keep focused. It away from evil.
Keep it away from evil. What does that look like, Flo?
Keep it lined up with the word of God.
Keep it lined up. And how does that keep it a good heart? How does that make it a... How does it maintain a good heart? How does it help me to maintain a good heart? I'm just trying to break it down.
You're going to maintain it.
Go ahead.
You maintain it through the word of God, through...
Meditating on it.
Your daily activity, your daily activity.
You didn't hit on something, so keep it... Because listen, you know what? You can get... hatred in your heart. You can you can get bitterness in your heart. That's going to that transmitter going to get all fuzzled out, right? You can you can get envy in your heart. Come on, you can get you can get, you know, a gossiping spirit, and you know, even if you're not even sharing it with people, but in your heart you just talking about that person. You know how? Come on now, come on. You got all this to say, but you may not open your mouth, but it's in your heart. All of that stuff that you can allow to get, I'll never talk to him no more. I can just slap the, we used to say, slap the mess out of somebody. But, you know, just things in your heart that may never come out of your what? Mouth is just as bad. It's just as bad because it's in there. And listen, you don't want that in your heart because it does. It pushes. And guess what? It will reflect or affect of the relationship. I don't care what you say. You may say, well, I ain't say, but it's in your heart. And it's going to affect your relationship with those individuals, whether you say it out of your mouth or you don't, because you feel it in your heart. Glory to God. So you got to keep your heart pure. Keep it clean, guard it. Glory to God. Don't let it in.
Yeah.
Don't let that stuff in, because then you're going to feel yourself dry. I don't feel joy no more. I don't feel God's love. Well, no, because you got these things going on. But we know how to turn it around now. Like I said, have a good heart. Glory to God. And so listen, here's the key, and I'm done for real on tonight. I see them over there. Unforget malice, bitterness. Yes, jealousy, envy. Unforgiveness, all of those. Yes, yes. Keep it out of your heart. Keep that stuff out of your. Listen, it really isn't worth it. It's not worth it. I keep telling people this is not worth it. It is not worth you missing God. It is not worth you know, not being able to really feel that connection because you got this stuff, which you call a sin, in your heart, in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you get all caught up, when your heart gets caught up with that kind of stuff, right? The glorifying God is just like me when I had that living together. You know, I couldn't even lift my hands to praise God, you know, because I felt so bad about what I was doing. So it hindered that flow. I couldn't be thankful. I couldn't be glorifying Him. And I felt condemned in my heart. You know what I'm saying? And people thinking people were talking about me. They probably were, but hey, you know, things, you know, all of this stuff that really wasn't important because really God was dealing with my heart, dealing with me.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying, those things are what, maybe look at those things in your life. If you don't feel you're in that place that you used to be with God, amen. Look at these things, those four keys. And in the end, it says here, depending on how you walk out these four progressive steps in your everyday. All right. This ain't like once a month, once a year. Okay. Everyday life. So that means we should be glorifying, thanking Him, recognize the power of our imagination and having a good heart every day. So every day you decide whether or not you stay full of God. By being mindful of those four things. I'm done. I am done. Are there any comments? Anybody have any comments? I know I'll be talking. I'll be trying to get in. Any comments? Anything you want to share? Anything, that a point that hit home for you? Anybody, before I turn it over to Prophetess Flo, I am going to turn it over to Prophetess Flo, but we want to give you opportunity, anything you want to share, anything that helped you, in this lesson, because we're talking about staying full of God, not up and down, in and out, good today, not good tomorrow, you know, save today, not save tomorrow. Is there anything? And I'm going to turn it over.
I think that drifting does happen when we walk into sin, whether it be gossip or whatever that sin pushes us away from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's why you begin to cut down your communication with Him, because sin has gotten in between you. I mean, no sin separates us from God.
Yeah.
So sin has stepped in, and now we pretty much step out. Because you can't serve two masters. You got to pick one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when that enters in, it does do something to your relationship with God. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're a believer, mm-hmm. there's no way that, and I believe, this is my opinion, there's no way that you can be saved for real and filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Mm-hmm. And purposely sin, or even when I do slip and sin, I can't feel comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I cannot feel comfortable in it. That you don't want to, you know, get right, because not feeling comfortable in it, like you said, it pushes us. It does something to the relationship. God mm-hmm. is still there, but it does something when you're a believer.
And like you said, it's not, he doesn't shut it down. We shut him down.
Right, right. Almost like Adam and Eve, right? Mm-hmm. In the garden.
Yep.
You know, he mm-hmm. came and he shut it down. Maybe if they mm-hmm. would have asked forgiveness. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? They were too busy trying to get out of what happened. But maybe had they repented and asked God to forgive them, it could have been a different thing. Mm-hmm. Could have been a different reaction to in a whole different turnout of that situation. But mm-hmm. when we do things, you know, that are not of God, it does, and it's a good thing, because in a sense, if we acknowledge. If we acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is dealing with us, you know, that's not right. You mm-hmm. shouldn't have done it. It'll if we acknowledge it and repent and turn away from that thing, you know what I mean? It puts us right back in a good place. So we need that conviction as well to keep us mm-hmm. focused. So don't ignore it and don't run from it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Embrace it mm-hmm. and then get it right. Because remember, it's unconditional love. Unconditional mm-hmm. love. Like David. Absolutely like David. Or we can talk about David, right? And what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he tried to cover it up for a long time. He did. Until the mm-hmm. prophet came and shouted it out. Amen. But he responded in the right way. He could have responded another mm-hmm. way, and it would have been a different outcome for him. But he responded the right way. He acknowledged his sin. Amen. And, you know, God was mm-hmm. always there. If God wasn't always there, he wouldn't even have sent the prophet for him. He loved him yeah. enough to send the prophet. He ain't getting it. Yeah. Imagine God. He ain't getting it. Let me just send someone mm-hmm. down here to just make it plain and clear. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Somebody else might get yeah. indignant. You what?
Mm-hmm.
And here God would love you that much that I'm going to send somebody to yeah. you to specifically get you on the right path, because I love you like that. Come on. That's the yeah. way we see things. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. The yeah. recognize the power of your imagination. Listen, it's the way I'm seeing this thing. Lord, thank you that the prophet came.
Yeah.
Thank you that I was yeah. in my right mind, didn't get an attitude and shut him down and then talk about him because I was offended, but I repented. Glory to God yeah. and got it right with you. And he was a man, right? Minister Elder Kasan, a man after God's own heart. So that goes to show you ain't got to be perfect to be a man or woman after God's own heart. You just got to do what's right. Amen.
Yes,
just do what's
amen.
Right in the sight of our God. Amen. Thank you for bringing that out.
Amen.
Prophetess Flo and Elder Cassandra. Thank you for bringing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lord, send me a. She said, Lord, send me a Nathan. Glory to God. Me too.
Amen.
Yeah. Listen, amen. I want to hear about houses and home. That's material. Listen, we heaven bound. Lord, I want it right. So when yeah. I stand before you, you say, well done. This stuff down here, all this gonna fade away. All of that stuff. Yeah. Tell me the real me. What you see. What you see. And you yeah. know what? Here's the thing. And I gotta go. Here's the thing. Here's the thing with David, right? When he came, he acknowledged, you know, he didn't fake it out. He, you know, the prophet told him specifically what he had done. Glory to God. And he was in agreement. And that's what happens in most cases, right? They come to confirm some stuff, whether it's good or not so good. He just confirmed what you had done.
Mm-hmm.
He just sent the man to confirm. So, yeah, it ain't like a surprise. It wasn't a surprise. He knew what he was doing. Right? And mm-hmm. I'm just going to shout you out so that you can get it right and do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Prophetess Flo, I'm going to turn it over to you right now, girly, because we can go. You know, we can go.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. We just thank you for this lesson on tonight. We thank you for each and everyone on the line. We thank you, Lord God, for your unconditional love.
Yes,
for Jesus.
Lord.
Wherever we find ourselves, you are there. Hallelujah. And you love us enough to bring us back to ourselves, Lord God. So we just say thank you for that on tonight. Lord, we ask that you would restore back unto Pastor all that she has poured out, Father God. And Lord God, we thank you that we hide this word in our heart, that we may not sin against you. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Each and every one, as you lay your head down on the pillow, just remember that Jesus Christ is Lord. And have a blessed and prosperous night.
Glory to God. You do the same, prophetess. And to all of you out there, God bless you. Know that God loves you. And so do we at Hope International Ministries. God bless you. And we'll see you on next week.